Now, you've been here a long time. He's been here a long time, a lot longer than he's old. But anyway, Steve Antonello, a member of our Rector's Council, is going to come and share a word with us this morning.
Thank you, Father Terry. As I was drinking that water, I was wondering if that was last week's water or not that Ben had, but I guess it's fresh now, so thank you. Thank you for asking me to do this, Father Terry. It's always a privilege to be up here. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your presence. I just pray that it would be all you, Lord, here, and that if there's anything that's not of you, that it would fall away, and whatever is of you would be implanted in everyone's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in October, I guess it was the end of October, I went to a School of Healing conference in Selma. And while I was there, I received a prophetic word from Pastor Mark Finley. And it was a word that he, one of those words that was spoke out in front of the congregation. And it went something like, I was holding on to a fence, and the wind was blowing very hard. And every time that I praised the Lord, the wind would blow harder. And the fence was disintegrating in my hands as I was praising the Lord. And each time I just continued to praise him, the fence would disintegrate more until I became like a cartoon character and I was parallel to the ground. And then as I continued praising the Lord, I was blown backwards and I fell back into the heart of God. So that was a very interesting and powerful word. And I received it, you know, because for the past month or so before that, during youth group, we have been teaching about thanksgiving and praise and worship. However, teaching about something and actually putting it into practice yourself are two different things. So I was challenged to really lay hold of this myself. And I could say that over the past few months, I have really received a great revelation. I've been extremely uplifted, and I've learned more about God through praise. And I'm excited to share with you what God has revealed to me through his word. Last week, if you recall, Ben had a great sermon on abiding in the true vine. And he revealed to us two false vines. And there are many false vines, but two of the vines he revealed were performance and control. And these were vines that we need to be uprooted. And we need to abide in the true vine. The false vines are vines that we gather our comfort from and we run to that end up being nothing in the long run or even damaging. So I'm going to expose another false vine today, and that vine would be the medium of music. The medium of music. And, you know, music has so many genres. There's just countless, you know, types of music to listen to. We have so much. But spiritually speaking, I just wanted to divide it up to simplify it for us all into two categories. And one category I would call the blatant, overt category. Blatant and overt. And I don't know if you realize what's going on today in the world of music, but there's so much of it that is so filthy, degrading, defiling, with all kinds of explicit lyrics. And it's mingled with this melodic and hypnotic beats that you can't get out of your head now. And it especially, this blatant, overt type of music, it targets our teens. And it doesn't matter what race it is, it's the teenage population. One day at school, I had a few students drive up, and they had it blasting, and it was all the worst kind of lyrics. And I was appalled. I just didn't think that I'm naive. I didn't think that was still that they would drive up like that right up to the school. So when they got out, I asked them, I said, do you consider yourself Christians? And they said, yes, sir. I said, well, what were you listening to? How could you listen to that? How could you stand that? We're sorry, sir. I said, I don't ever want to hear that anymore. So this music, about 10 years ago, Dwayne Coker, who was teaching music at the time at Restoration Academy, he decided he wanted to do what he called a hip-hop Bible course. And the whole year, he taught about it. He had them look at the lyrics, look at what they're saying, and all the different artists that everyone is looking up to. And he studied it, and then finally he said, okay, now for a month I want you to give me your devices, your iPods. And that was part of the test. And if I recall, there was only like one kid that couldn't, I mean, only one person went the whole month without the device, you know. And now, that was 10 years ago, it's far worse now, because we have far many more devices to listen to. And so Dwayne made this statement. He said that hip-hop music is it's the father of our children, is what he called it. And God is the father to the fatherless, and there are many fatherless children. He said, this is the father now. This is where they're getting their teaching. This is what they're following. This is what is being glorified in their lives. And it's all over. Last year's Grammy Awards, you had, and I didn't watch it, I went and to see, because I had heard some things, but people were our artists, pop stars, gyrating, barely clothed, and some were even doing satanic rituals and calling it a performance. One Christian artist who was there to receive a reward, Natalie Grant, she walked out in the middle of it. She just walked out. So this is what we're dealing with. And it started out with videos. You know, you could go home and watch it on MTV 30 years ago. And now it's packaged in every kind of device, and you can pull it up anywhere, anytime, any place, as many amounts of times as you want, and watch it. And so it doesn't take the gift of discernment to know that this stuff, some of it is wicked. But it might take the gift of discernment to know that we are all susceptible to it. And you know, we have to be cautious, to say the least. That is what I would call the blatant and overt attack in music, this type of music. It's brazen, it's obvious, it's unconcealed, and it's right in your face. The other medium, I would say, is what I would call a latent and covert attack. And this is the music that I would say that we're most familiar with. This is the music that I grew up on. I listened to this music. First of all, I had to go on the radio and wait for my favorite song to come up. I told that to my kids, and they couldn't believe it. I would wait for an hour, you know, to get that song, you know, and then I knew another station that was going to play it, so I could go there. And I waited and waited until that would come up. And I had a stereo, and I just stayed close to that stereo. And, you know, it was really a teenage wasteland for me. And it was more than a teenage wasteland, because it was an elementary wasteland, a teenage wasteland, and into my 20s wasteland. I spent a lot of time, I know lyrics. Lyrics are in my head from hundreds of songs and the rhythms. And I would say that we probably, most of us, fall into this category. This is just, and it's good music. It's really, there's some, it's great music. But what's happening along the way is that time is passing by, and our minds are eroding in some form or fashion, and our hearts are growing cold and further away from God, and it can be a colossal waste of time. So that would be what I would call the, as I said, it's a latent and a covert thing. You know, it's just over time, and you don't even realize, because it's not a bad thing. It's good stuff. You know, but the time is passing by, and we're missing out. And so maybe our affection, okay, isn't on this false vine. Okay, maybe it isn't, but for whatever reason, I think many of us haven't tapped into what I would consider one of the main roots in the true vine, which is praise. It's praising God. That's a main root to the vine. And so I think we've unwittingly allowed the enemy, who once we know he was a worship leader in heaven. He was cast down to earth. I think he knows a little something about music and what makes us tick. We've unwittingly allowed the enemy to steal a very significant part of our relationship with him. And that's to praise him. It was Friday, we were over Linda Chandler's, celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, Linda Chandler. And it was the only time in my life. I chuckled when I came in here, because first song they played was "How Great Thou Art" in here, and it was playing at Linda Chandler's, but it was the luau music. I've never Hawaiian luau. "How Great Thou Art," you know, very very unusual. Okay, but only at Linda's, and Robert did an amazing impersonation of Elvis Presley. I mean, it was captivating. It was really good, and What I thought about was, I remember when Elvis was on. Now I don't remember. When he was in his prime, I was. But what I understood was that you could not show Elvis from. You had to show him from the waist up. He was on TV. They wouldn't show him from the waist down. Okay, because he was shaking, and that was you couldn't see that. That was. Look at how far down we've gone. My goodness. So. Again, that was something that I recall. But does anyone know? Let's cross over here into praise, and because really, I just want, I hope there's no, I don't want anybody to feel guilty here, okay? But all I'm saying is we're missing out. We're missing out. And does anybody know what the largest book in the Bible is? That's right, Psalms. Okay, it's the largest book in the Bible. And where is it located in the Bible? Right in the middle. And does anyone know what Psalms means? Hymns, praises. So I think it's significant that God would put a book of praises that's the biggest book in the Bible right in the heart of the Bible. I mean, that's significant. So I want to give you seven reasons why we should praise God. Seven reasons. Sorry, it's not that large right now. Okay. But anyway. Take the mic with you? Okay. Do I really need to? Am I that?
If Gary's taping you, it'll be nice to have it.
Okay. All right. I need my device here first. Oh, no. All right, I'll have to read these verses for you. Somebody can maybe enlarge that, but if you think you know how, I don't. All right, that first verse says, that first verse says, praise him for his greatness. Praise him for his greatness. And the verse is Psalm 48:1, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. And that right there alone is enough to praise him because he's great.
Hallelujah.
And if we look at that, I mean, we could drain the vocabulary of superlatives for God. You know, I mean, he's awesome. He's powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, omniscient. Another word is omnificent. That's one. Anybody know what that means? I think that's the word. Omnific. That means he is all creating. Omnific. So, one time, this was back 20 years ago, I had a summer job that it was in a bakery. I was baking bread in Continental Bakery. A little bit stereotypical there, I know, for an Italian, but I was baking bread, and this was in 1996. I had to get up at 5 in the morning and go, and Bridget was pregnant with Dominic. I was so happy. I was just so happy that I had a job in the summer. Teachers have to get jobs in the summer. And I was praising God in the bakery. No one was in there. It was still dark. I was just trying to give him every word I could give him. I was so thankful. And one of the very few times I heard God's voice, and audible, he said, "As great as you think I am, I'm still greater." And I was just blown away. I was like, wow. Because I thought I had it all with everything I was like, no. So that's awesome. Next verse. All right, this is praise him to give back to him and draw near to him. This is the second reason to praise him, to give back to him and draw near to him. The verse says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And thanksgiving is very important when it comes to praising God. It is the gate to the inner courts with God. If we're not thankful, then you really can't get close to God. The word thanks actually is synonymous with grace. It's the same meaning. If you look at the Romance languages in Spanish, what does thank you mean? Gracias. Gracias. And I think Italian, it's grazie. You know, it means grace. So if we want the full measure of his grace, we got to be thankful. So we come with thanksgiving. And I you know, with today's worship, that was awesome. The worship was great. It was in the heavens. And, you know, the way what I pictured is you come into the gates. This would be like the gates with thanksgiving. You enter in, and then it says, enter his courts with praise. So now you're into the inner courts because you're praising him. You're getting closer. And then the highest form, I think, of maybe human activity would be worship. And that would be what your attitude of your heart and how that transfers into your body, what you do with your body. And we saw that. We had a picture of that today. God gives us several hundred exhortations to praise him. You know, and is it because he's a tyrant or he's a despot kind of guy? No. It's because it's a privilege. It's a gift. It's a gift for us. It's an honor to praise him. And so it's the only acceptable. It's the only appropriate way to thank him, is to praise him. And so Keith Green, in his song, "O Lord, You're Beautiful," he says, "When I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, because my reward is giving glory to you." So, you know, that's awesome. But then if you look at this verse here, three reasons in that verse to praise him. Three reasons. One is, for the Lord is good. Four means because, right? Praise him because he's good. The second is his love endures forever. And the third reason is his faithfulness continues through all generations. So no matter what is going on circumstantially, no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what, that right there will never change. Those three reasons, he's good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness lasts through all generations, unchanging, fixed in the heavens, praise him for it. Next verse. He abides in the praises of his people. This is an awesome verse. I would try to pick it up, but I don't think I can lift it on my own now. But that throne right there, okay, it says he is holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel. Okay, he's enthroned. That means that when we come in here, and the first thing we do appropriately enough is to praise the Lord, to worship him, to give thanks to him. To enthrone means that we are building, we're constructing a throne for him. Because it says that that's what he's seated on, our praises. It's our praise. We're literally providing a place for him to sit. I mean, that like is transforming my worship. I'm just picturing, I'm just saying, I'm building a throne for you, King. You're my King. Here's the throne I want. And let's make the best throne we can for him, man. Let's give him the best one. And so, and that word means to be seated on, to dwell in, to abide in, and it's our praises that he's abiding in. Next, praise is a sacrifice. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And I think this is why we don't praise him. Because we don't, whether we realize it or not, it is a sacrifice. Okay, it's hard. Okay, because of how we feel. I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. Okay, physically, for me personally, this is probably the worst I've felt physically. But it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with how we feel. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with it. That's right. And Jonathan is a testimony to that. Okay, he was told he had cancer, and you hear him right back there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And look, the fruit of the lips, we got to openly profess it. He shouldn't be the only one singing hallelujah out here. You know, we need to join him in that, okay? Because there's something about when we speak it with our lips. I can listen to praise music, but it's a whole different story when I enter in and start singing. Something is taking place in the atmosphere when we do that. And so, it's awesome. And, you know, to profess his name, to openly profess his name. In Hebrews as well, it says he's the high priest of our confession. Confession and profession are virtually the same thing. So that tells me that if we've got to confess to have the high priest, if we don't have a confession, who's our high priest? We got to confess and testify and praise him. We got to speak it with our lips and our tongue. The tongue was given to us. Ultimately, it is our glory to praise God with. Ultimately. Try saying hallelujah without your tongue. Okay? All right. Next. Praise defeats depression. And the verses, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And last week, you remember what Ben said, the most costly illness is, where's most of the money going for? Depression. Depression. God's prescription, Isaiah 61:3. I don't know if, I mean, I know it's hard. I know there's a heaviness. But have we tried to praise the Lord? Have we tried to praise our way out of it? Because it's many times it's demonic oppression. And so this is awesome, this verse. There's a song, it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from the throne. We anoint people with oil for healing, but there's also the oil of gladness to bring gladness in replace to replace that with. Next. Praise defeats the enemy. And the verse is, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, through children and infants, out of the mouths of babes, is another translation. That tells me that he takes the weakest thing. And it's about his strength. It's not about us. Again, it's about his strength. And that right there is that's a verse to be excited about right there, because that's what defeats the foe. Look what it does. It silences him. Amen. It silences the enemy. It silences those voices when we praise him. And so that right there is a great verse. It also brings about supernatural intervention. Supernatural intervention. In the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat is being, he is under, it says, a vast army, a vast attack. And it's against the Moabites and the Ammonites. So first he declares fasting and praying. Everyone gathers. And then it says, as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, this is what they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. As far as I could tell, they didn't pick up a single weapon. The weapon was praise, and they destroyed one another. It confused the enemy. Another example is in the New Testament. Acts chapter 16. Paul had just, he just delivered a fortune-telling woman from a demon. And it just caused an uproar throughout the city. And so a crowd joined in and attacked Paul and Silas because of this. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. And let me go back and say, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. They probably never heard anything like it. So suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. So praise once again brings about our God's supernatural intervention. Next one. I like this one. Praise declares the triumph. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Everywhere. Do you know the difference between a victory and a triumph? There you go. The triumph celebrates the victory. It celebrates the victory's already been won. As Christians, we're looking back at the finished work of Christ and we're celebrating. We're celebrating. The picture I get is a victory parade. A lot of these teams win championships and they go down and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people go and they throw confetti on them and they're in the chariot. It's not a chariot, but that's what it's like. And they are celebrating the triumph that's already taken place. That's a picture that I get. Another thing that it reminds me of, I was thinking of this about triumph, because a lot of times I don't feel victorious. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us don't feel victorious at much of the time, but it kind of is like this. When I was growing up, I have a brother who's about four and a half years older than I am, and whenever he would ask me to play a game with him, whether it was cards or ping pong or whatever it might be, I was eager to play with him. It was like a privilege. It was just, I was so excited. He's asked me to play, you know. And, you know, we would play a series. In mine, it was never just going to be one game. It was always going to be a series. And I would be playing, and I could win the first two games on him. You know, I don't know if he let me win or if I really beat him or not, but I was trying as hard as I could. And we would do game three, and he would have a formidable lead in this game usually. And then he would say, "This is for the world championship." I'd be like, I was still happy to play with him. I'd be like, okay, okay. And so he would invariably win. Invariably, he would always win, you know. And I would be thinking, you know, well, we got to play another one. He'd be like, no, that was the championship. He would stand over me and say, "I am the champion, my friend. You know, you lose once again." I would be crying. I'd be very upset. This is how it would end the whole time. And really, that's kind of how it is in this life. I mean, Satan, he's relentless. He's relentless with saying, you know, you lose. You're a failure, Steve. I'm the prince of this world. You got no chance. Give it up. Give it up. You know, but no, because I got the victory and we got the victory through the blood of the Lamb. And that's what we need to proclaim and profess. I got the victory. We have the victory. I've been buried with Him. I've been made alive with Him. I'm resurrected with Him. And I'm enthroned with Him. I'm the champion. You lose. And that's how we need to talk. That's how we need to be. Okay? And I tell you, when we're praising the Lord, He can't come into that. He can't come into that. So, I just want to close here with another psalm. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, all you shining stars and moon. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. And in youth group, they counted 29 things are told to praise the Lord. 29 things. And in Psalm 150, just for good measure, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.